The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
Leftovers. Or. The DMV.
Number 97.
Or. House cleaning. Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On 590 The Fan and 590TheFan.com.
As around the sun, the earth knows she. And the rosebuds know the bloom in early May.
And welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box, all new 590 of the Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. It's our pleasure to welcome Rob Raines, who's been all over this Cardinals story. Rob, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Frank. Thank you.
How many years total? 40 covering Cardinal baseball?
43.
Can you ever, I'm only going to ask it this way because it's tough to qualify which team is worse, you know, but can you ever remember a time period in your career where there's so much hostility in town about our baseball team?
No, and I think that has to do with the expectations of the team and the successes they've had in recent years. I mean, there were a lot of stretches, you know, before I started covering the Cardinals, when I was still a Cardinal fan, you know, in high school, college in the 70s or whatever, but the era of baseball wasn't very good, but you didn't really expect it to be good. You know, they weren't good for a long time. I mean, 68 to 82 without winning, and then 82 to, you know, what, 2006 without winning. So, I mean, there's a lot of years in there where they didn't win, but you didn't get all bent out of shape over because they really weren't expected to win. You know, you weren't used to that. I think that they're probably a victim a little bit of their own success and how they've raised the expectation levels that, you know, just getting to the playoffs is not considered a good season. You know, getting to the championship series or the World Series is kind of what's required to make it go down as a good season. So I think that's part of the reason why when things have kind of fallen so far off the rails this year that people are so upset and just wondering what's happened.
Because we're not exactly dealing with controversial and volatile characters in Ali Marmol and John Mozeliak. They rarely say anything that, you know, gets you really upset, but yet everything they say, people like jump on them. And I'm telling you, the approval rating for those two, I've never seen anything like it in St. Louis.
Well, because you want somebody to blame. You got to say when things go this bad, it's got to be somebody's fault, right? I mean, that's so. I think that's in the human nature is that you're looking to say, okay, well, you know, it's this guy's fault, so he's the one that ought to, you know, go. And I don't think you can say that. I mean, I think I think you can point the finger if you wanted to do that in a lot of different directions. I don't think there's any one person. You can't say it's the front office. You can't say it's the manager. You can't say it's the coaching staff. You can't say it's the trainers because the guys are hurt. You can't say it's the players because they haven't performed. And I think it's a combination of all of that. So I think everybody's just sharing the blame here, and that makes it harder to kind of point fingers.
Boy, it makes for, if this continues, I'm not saying they're going to be this bad, but let's just say you're at the deadline and it's really bleak. So the amount of players that could and should be moved is astronomical. I mean, okay, there's no reason for Jack Flaherty to be here the final couple of months if he has trade value, correct?
Unless you're already in the discussions about signing him to a long-term deal and keeping him here.
And how likely is that at this point?
I don't know. I haven't been involved in whether they're talking or not talking. It's one of the potential free agents I did talk to you about last week, and they wouldn't talk to me about what's going on. So I don't know whether it's something that they're going on behind the scenes or not. But I would say this. If there isn't any discussions at this point about him staying on a new contract, then I think you have to explore the market and see what's out there.
Okay, there's one. How about Jordan Montgomery?
Same thing. And Montgomery has said, you know, he's the one that the only one that's talked about it was the fact that he said he would be open to discussion a new contract in spring training, but the Cardinals never approached him about it. And he said once the regular season started, then it was off the table. So I have to think he said more likely headed to free agency. If I had to pick one of the two, I was he's the more likely one to leave. So yeah, he's got to be available too.
All right, what about Paul DeJong, who has a club option, I believe, for 2 more years?
Right. Well, yeah, 1 year at a time. So it's a buyout, $2 million buyout for next year, or a $12.5 million contract. So, it's hard to say because he's been such a good Cardinal for a long time. But you got to look at, I kind of compare it to when they let Colton Wong go, a few years ago, because they had Tommy Edman ready to play second base. And if they're as high on Mason Wynn as everybody seems to think they are, then you got to think he's ready to play shortstop next year. And even if he's not, you still got Tommy Edman. So I don't think the numbers of the contract are necessarily what's going to keep the Cardinals from picking up the option. I think it's just a matter of playing time and ready to turn the job over to a younger player.
There's not one person in the world in spring training who said, I think at the trade deadline, the Cardinals may be looking to move the reigning National League MVP, Paul Goldschmidt. And now it's become somewhat of a prevalent thought because he has 1 year after this year, and he's going to be 36 a little bit later this summer. What about that possibility?
He has to agree to go somewhere because he's got a no-trade clause for his contract. So they can't trade him anywhere that he doesn't want to go. And whether he wants to go somewhere or not is something he knows and only he can decide.
Yeah. Does that make sense? I mean, I guess everybody should be on the table when you're in last place.
Sure. I think you could probably say the list of guys that would be untouchable or off the charts on one hand, or maybe a couple fingers on the second hand. But everybody else, I think, has to be available because you never know what you never say never. I mean, you don't know if hypothetically, instead of going to have them, I say, okay, we'll trade you Paul Goldschmidt for Aaron Judge. Okay, yeah, we'll do that. I mean, of course, you're going to do that. So I'm just saying you never know what the other club is going to say. So you have to explore everybody's options and then just, only evaluate a trade on its own merits and whether it makes sense or not. But I think at this point, everybody has to be on the table except for, like you say, the handful of, Walkers and Wins and, that type of player.
Not that he has any choices because he's locked up long term, but what would a Paul Goldschmidt trade do to Nolan Arenado's psyche?
I think it has to depend on what you get back. I mean, I think it has to depend on what it does to the ball club. And I think the realization of how many more years is Goldschmidt going to play, too. That's a question he hasn't addressed yet either about what, okay, he signed up for next year. What's his contract after that going to look like? I mean, is he going to, does he want to play a couple more years? Does he want to, be a DH most of the time instead of playing first base? I think that's something he has to answer and his family has to answer. We know he's a very, loyal person to his family. He's got a lot of family interests. He's going to be 36 next year. I mean, I think you could count, on a couple of fingers how many more years probably after that he wants to play. So I think everybody, Arenado and everybody else in that clubhouse will have to realize that.
He doesn't seem like a guy who's going to go away in a year, though, right? The way he plays, body's in shape.
He also doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to hang around and play just to keep playing. Financially, he's sad. He doesn't have to worry about that. He likes, enjoys his time away from the game. He loves playing the game. I'm not saying he doesn't, but I'd be surprised. Let me put this: I'd be surprised if he's one of those guys that's still playing when he's 40 years old.
Yeah. So, if somebody told you in spring training that Nolan Gorman in mid-June would have 15 homers and 46 RBIs and an .843 OPS, I think you'd say, "I'll take it in a heartbeat." But yes, it's been a rough little stretch here for him.
Yeah, and he's going to be that kind of player. I mean, I think, we saw last year, he is still prone to striking out some. I mean, that's just part of his game, and it's just, part of today's game for the most part. So I think there's not any real reason to get concerned about that. He's going to go through peaks and valleys. He's going to go through, peaks when he's really hot and hits, two or three home runs in a week and carries you to some big wins, and then there's going to be times when he struggles for a while. I think that's just nature. I think anytime one particular player struggles and is set against the vacuum of the whole team struggling, it stands out. If a team is winning and Nolan Gorman goes through a 1-for-20 stretch or whatever, you don't pay as much attention to it. So I think it's a combination of everybody else struggling, the Contreras, Edmund, DeJong, all those guys that you could put in there and say that, what their numbers are for the last month are not very good. And it collectively just adds up to a lot of losses.
All right, Jordan Walker with 2 more hits yesterday. He's hitting .293 now. Rob, he has to be in this lineup every game. He has to play every day till he passes out, correct?
.326 since he came back up from Memphis. So, yeah, I think so. But the thing I would do is I'm not opposed to letting him play some at DH. And this, and just, yeah, you know, put Donovan in the outfield for now. Put Newt Barr out there when he comes back, and let Jordan work with the, you know, Willie McGee before the game for a couple hours. Don't play in the outfield. Play, you know, a couple days a week or whatever. But just if you have him DH some, let him concentrate on hitting. I think he's even going to be even better. And just because he DHs some now wouldn't mean you're labeling him as a DH forever. Say he's never going to become a quality outfielder, because I think he will be. But just give him time to work on it. I mean, well, you know, he's still less than a year into this whole outfield thing. He didn't start playing the outfield last year to August 2nd. So,
yeah,
you know, it's still definitely a work in progress.
In fact, I was
progress can be done before the game, you know, not actually during the game too.
Good point. I was interviewing him the other day, and I just said, about your outfield, I know you really haven't played much as a professional. I go, did you ever do it in high school or grade school? He said, I have never been an outfielder until it was in mid last year?
August 2nd.
Wow.
After the trade deadline passed. Yeah. And the reason they said that, the reason the Cardinals said that they did that and why they waited was they want to become more comfortable hitting. You know, he wanted them to be used to hitting at the double-A level before they made that, you know, thinking where he had to also worry about playing a new position. And that just baffles me, is if that was true at double-A, why isn't it true in the big leagues? Why don't you just worry about letting him hit and then worry about the other stuff later?
How would you handle the distribution of playing time with the catching position? My take is that Kisner is slightly better defensively, and he's hit a little bit better too, if you look at, you know, his numbers, and you have Wilson Contreras at 198. But I think that if the season is basically lost and you are paying, he's in the middle of an $87 million contract, don't you try to find out and let him hit himself out of this thing? Or you want to, careful and not have him completely buried and shot?
I think you have to pick your spots. I mean, I don't think he can play every day, but I think the main thing is you got to get him out of the fifth spot in the batting order.
Yeah.
I know that that's a loyalty thing where they, you know, told him that's where he was going to hit, and they don't want to go back on their word, but he's the first person to know how bad he's struggling and how, you know, the performance in that spot is critical to the team's success, you know, batting behind Arenado. So, and when you got two options in Walker, as we saw yesterday, and Carlson, who could hit there depending on whether it's a left-handed or right-handed pitching. So, you know, I'd move him down to seventh or eighth and just like keep him playing, you know, 3 out of 5 games, 4 out of 6 games, whatever, but just don't put him, take him out of that pressure spot in the lineup.
All right, Lars Newt Barr beginning a minor league rehab assignment. You tell me, how would you handle the distribution of playing time in the outfield, which is one of the biggest issues on this team?
Well, when he comes back, I think right now you're going to see probably Newt. I would put Newt Barr in left and Edmund in center and Carlson in right and D.H. Walker most of the time. You also could flip Donovan out there some when he needed to, give those guys a day off. But I think as of now, the way Edmund has played center field will be their best defensive outfielder. And when you're struggling to score runs, you know, and you don't know how your pitching is going to be, one of the ways you can keep yourself in ballgames is playing good defense. As I say, and that's no knock on Walker, because I still want his bat in the lineup. But I still think right now, You're a better team with a better chance to win by making that switch in the defensive switch in the outfield.
Will that evolve, though, as the Cardinals and their chances of winning this thing get lower and lower? I mean, they can't get much lower, yeah. But if it is look like it is completely done for sure, and granted, we are in the National League Central, so anything is possible, I think you almost have to trot Walker out there. I understand now if Newt Barr comes back, you have three better defensive outfielders they should play, but there's going to come a time this season where it is over and you got to play Walker every day in the outfield.
Right. I think so. And that's what I'm saying. I think that's once it gets probably get past the trade deadline and you see who's here and see who's left to play. I mean, I think that by that point, the last couple of months of the season, and by then they'll have another couple of months of working with Willie before the game and getting better reads and batting practice on fly balls and that kind of stuff. Yeah, he's going to have to play out there. And I'm not saying he never plays out there. I'm just saying right now I would limit him to a couple times a week out there and you know, work on hitting and just becoming that's going to be the strength of his game anyway. I mean, I don't think you know, as you see right now, as you sit here, I don't know that I would make a prediction that he's going to win a Gold Glove in the outfield in his lifetime. I mean, maybe he'll get better, good enough to do that, but I think he's going to be good enough to be an everyday effective outfielder, especially if he's a guy that's hitting 25 home runs with, you know, 100 RBIs and 300 batting average.
All right, so give me the game plan you think with Mason Wynn. I am guilty of being a Paul DeJong apologist, but I could see how there's a certainly a strong case to move on from him, even though he may hit 20 to 25 home runs this year and have an OPS close to 800. But Wynn is starting to hit. He's got 7 home runs. He's got 25 RBIs. He's got 13 stolen bases. Do you think we'll see him that final month playing every day here?
I wouldn't be surprised. I might be tempted to bring him up before that if it was just me. See what you got. You know, see what kind of make your plans for next year. Let him get some of those growing pains out of the way a little bit earlier than to start the season if you really aren't intending on making him your starting shortstop next year. But again, it kind of does depend on what happens at the trading deadline, if there's a spot for him to play. But he's only going to come up if he's going to play every day because he's still 21 years old. It's his first year at AAA. He just needs to play. So if he can't play here every day, he needs to stay there and play.
Boy, I like Jake Woodford. I know he had a chance to be a starter, and it didn't work out. But I'd like him. Are they going to keep him in the bullpen?
As of now, the way I understand, yeah. But again, you know, if you trade a couple starting pitchers, you're going to need somebody to make those starts the last couple of months of the season. So maybe that could be his opportunity to see what he could do, too. So everything's just so much a work in progress right now, so much in flux. It's really hard to say absolute this is going to happen or that's going to happen because you just really don't know.
Okay, finally, an analysis of Giovanni Gallegos, because if you look at the numbers, they're not like horrendous. I mean, it's 26 strikeouts, 6 walks. His whip is 1.09. But boy, big moments, we all got a bad feeling.
Yes.
Elaborate, please. No, we're paying you a lot of money. We can't get a yes out of you. You're sounding like Ali Marmol the other night. Yes.
No, I just think he's not fit for the closer role. I mean, and that's nothing personal against him, which is my observation, is that, you know, I like him more in the middle inning role of a ball game, less leverage situation, not there with the game on the line. I've just seen so many times. And I know sometimes he does have some saves and stuff, but just seems like even when he gets a save, more times than not, there's something that is close about the outcome of the game, you know. So didn't shock me that he gave up the home run yesterday. It's just the way it's gone. So I you know, think they've got to have some better options out there.
Okay, so fast forward to Friday night, ninth inning situation. Does Ali try to say, hey, I know what I'm doing. I'm sticking Gio out there if it's a save opportunity, or do you think he goes Hicks?
I'd go Hicks.
Yep.
But he probably will go Gallegos because he probably will go wanting to get him right back out there on the horse and you know, get a save out of him, which is possible. It could happen. I mean, he's got, you know, however many saves he's got this year. But it's just, you know, it's just always questionable. Every time he comes out the game of that one or two-run game in the ninth inning, you just question what's going to happen.
John Mozeliak either told me on camera or off camera that I am not one of these general managers that makes out lineup cards. Mm-hmm. Do you buy that?
Yes. But I think he makes suggestions, or I think his people in his front office under him make suggestions based on the analytical data of the matchup that day.
Hmm. Okay, one final thought. And let's say you're an owner and you are looking for a manager out there. Who makes sense?
Well, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, to be honest with you. If I'm picking a manager for a major league team and I don't have a guy that I'm really committed to within my organization that I think is going to be, you know, my manager for the next 10 years, I'm looking outside the organization for a guy who has major league managing experience. Hmm. Not a kid. I can't give you a name. I mean, you know, because most of those guys are currently employed. And I think some of the guys who are not employed, who have major league experience, are not the right fit for this ball club. So, yeah, it's, you know, you can't, again, that's another thing. You can say, everybody says it's easy. We'll fire the manager. Okay, we're going to fire him, but who are you going to hire? Yeah. So, I mean, you can't make one move without knowing what the second one's going to be. And I can't answer that question right now.
Well stated. We appreciate it. What do you have coming up? Anything?
Yeah, some thoughts and observations and questions about the club. We'll post that this afternoon.
Very good. So. Rob, you're the best. Thank you so much.
All right, Frank, anytime. Thank you, sir.
Rob Raines, he is Instant Offense. It's an honor to have him on this program all the time. All right, when we come back, it's the restaurant that everybody's talking about, Wright's Tavern, on the weekly special. We'll be right back.
Leftovers or the DMV
number 97
or house cleaning.
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you struggling to lose weight and keep it off? Tired of wasting time and money on starvation diets that lead to more frustration and stress? If there was a weight loss solution that could actually work for you, would you try it? Then head to Golo.com.
I'm Steve. I lost 138 pounds in 9 months on Golo.
I'm Amber. I've lost 128 pounds with Golo Taking Release.
If you're ready to take back control of your life, head to Golo.com now and see how Golo can work for you. That's Golo.com.
My sleep is way better. My inflammation has gone way down. Golo saved my life. I was way overweight. That's what sent me down the path. I wanted to make sure and live for my kid.
I have literally tried everything. I was on the verge of getting gastric bypass surgery, and I saw the Golo commercial, and it was the last thing I tried because it worked.
Join over 2 million people who have found a better way to lose weight with Golo. Your healthier and happier life begins at Golo.com. That's Golo.com. Again, Golo.com.